And welcome back. I'm Jeff Rentz. That's R-E-N-S-E. And the website is rentz.com, in case you're new to the program. My guest tonight, very honored to have Mr. Tom Harrison, who had quite a life with his mother, a medium, a materialization medium. Michael Roll is here as well. Michael, of course, has been on the program many times. And he is in England, and Tom is in Spain. Let's say hello again to Mr. Tom Harrison. Welcome back to hour number two, Tom. How are you doing?
Thank you. Doing fine, thank you, Jeff.
It's 5 a.m. there.
Yeah, 5 a.m. or just after.
Okay.
Thoroughly enjoying it.
Well, it's a marvelous life you've led, and you're doing a fabulous job explaining it. Now, let's go on and pick up the story and reset the stage a little bit for our listeners. By the way, apparently so many of you have been trying to get on to Tom Jones' website for Tom Harrison that the site is temporarily overloaded. So keep trying. You will get in. We just it doesn't have enough capacity to hold the number of people listening. But you will get in. You can click on Tom's name at rentz.com anytime tonight or tomorrow, whenever. Just follow the name and the guests. And do look at the pictures and do study the material. We're also going to have, through Tom's kindness tonight, Tom Harrison will be playing some recordings that were made during some of these sessions of Aunt Ag's speaking voice. This is going to be something, so stay tuned. All right, Tom, please reset that for us,
good,
the medical man there,
yep,
and tell us what happened.
Will do. Let me just emphasize as well that for these first few sittings, my mother was in full view in the red light. She wasn't in a cabinet, as we call it. That'll come in shortly.
Right.
And this has all happened in the first 8 months of starting.
Mm.
Now, that to me was unique.
Yes.
I mean, it wasn't as though we sat for weeks and weeks and months and years. Just in 32 weeks.
How close,
Tom,
excuse me, we have a little delay on the phone,
yes,
but how close were you sitting to your mother during these sessions when she was sitting in the room with you?
About 5 feet.
You could have leaned over and touched her.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes, almost.
Mm-hmm.
Not, I'd have to stand up and just take one pace.
Okay.
Then I could touch her.
All right, I understand.
Yep.
Very good.
Because when Aunt Ag built the first time, as I said, in the middle of the room, she was only about 18 inches, 2 feet away from me, which was halfway between us.
Yes. What did her hands feel like when they clasped yours?
Absolutely flesh-like. Just warm and flesh-like, exactly as an ordinary person's hand.
Mm-hmm.
Not cold and clammy at all.
Mm-hmm.
And neither were they over the years, because, as I think I've said already, we had, I mean, over 1,500 materialized people over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And not just walking around, but walking around shaking hands, embracing them. But that's, I'm jumping ahead a little bit.
All right. Well,
let me come back to Mr. Jones and the pulse. Yes?
Right. Yes.
Right. It was the next sitting, which was sitting number 34. I remember that clearly. Mr. Jones was with us again. As he became a regular sitter, by the way. He became a regular member of our circle. And we were waiting. Aunt Ag built in the middle of the room again and stood there. And we were going to ask her about the pulse. But before we said anything at all to her, she just turned towards Mr. Jones, who was sitting in the middle of the group, and said, "Mr. Jones, I understand you would like to feel my pulse." She'd been earwigging the previous week, hadn't she?
She certainly was.
So Mr. Jones said, "Yes, please, Mrs. Abbott." So Aunt Ag just put her left arm out towards Mr. Jones,
mm-hmm,
who stood up, took hold of her hand and her wrist, put his fingers on her wrist as he would as a surgeon or as a doctor,
mm-hmm,
stood there for about half a minute, and Ag just stood smiling. When he'd finished, he took his hand off, and he just turned to Aunt Ag and said, "You'll live."
Yeah.
And Aunt Ag said, "I am living, Mr. Jones, and I will continue to live."
Wow.
Wonderful.
Well, indeed. How did Aunt Ag appear? In what kind of dress or outfit?
Yes.
And what was her the texture and sharpness of the definition of her face as far as you could see it?
The face, well, the texture of ectoplasm varies.
Yes, I understand.
Spirit people can make the ectoplasm into what they want.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like the photograph, I think it's in Tom Jones as well, the one of we took of Van Dagg standing at the side of the fireplace. And the gown is very soft, it's gossamer-like. But the hands and the face are absolutely clear, just like ours.
Mm-hmm.
Because that same night that Mr. Jones had taken the pulse, when he'd taken the pulse, Van Dagg then turned towards me,
mm-hmm.
and I stood up, and she reached her hand out, and she handed me a bunch of violets. Just a little bunch of violets for her sister Mary, another of the family, who was up from Bristol on holiday. And would I give these to Mary? I said, of course. And then she took hold of my right hand, leaned over to my father, who was at the end of the circle, the end of the horseshoe, took hold of his hand and stood us both up together and said, now look, look at my face. And she held her face up to the red light so that we could clearly see her face. She just wanted to be sure that we knew it was her. We knew it was her, all right. I mean, you sense, I think it's like, well, I say to people say, well, are you sure it was a real person? Well, Mr. Jones proved it was a real person by taking the pulse.
Mm-hmm.
With my mother still sitting there in the red light. It was no, I mean, the ectoplasm was connected to my mother. We must remember that at all times, that the ectoplasm comes out of the medium's body. In my mother's case, it used to come out of the mouth or the solar plexus and then builds up, but it goes back into the medium. And that's when the danger can be, if people are stupid with a light or grab at it to try and do something with it.
I understand. Did she, Aunt Ag, appear to you about the same age as she was when she passed, or different?
No, they don't build necessarily at the age that they pass. They build at the age they feel they were at their prime.
I see.
That may sound silly.
No, no, but not at all.
I mean, we've had people building and have been passed over 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
But they build as they can remember themselves. They have to remember themselves to make the form into the ectoplasm.
I see.
But she was just her normal self. Would have been in her 50s or maybe 60s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And just as natural and as we are, just as real as we are, solid.
And how long did she manifest there on average?
That night she stayed about 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But some nights she used to, when we had the cabinet, after about 7 weeks we were advised to have this cabinet, which is nothing more than a black piece of blackout curtain across the corner of the room on a rod. Then my mother sat behind the curtain, and the materialized people materialized behind the curtain and then moved the curtain with their own arms and stepped out into the room.
Still connected to your mother?
Still connected to my mother all the time. And then we used to put a chair at that end of the room by the curtain. Aunt Ag would come out and sit down on the chair and talk to us for a quarter of an hour. Just as natural and as real in the red light as we were. And I used to sit back many times in the chair and think, well, this is tremendous. But we started with 8 people in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have 9.
Indeed.
Wonderful.
Yeah. The time prior when Aunt Ag grabbed your hand and your father's hand.
Yes.
And she
yes.
was connected to your mother, who was in trance and completely out,
right.
sitting there. Where was she connected to your mother at that time? Do you remember? Was it your mother's solar plexus, the ectoplasm was coming?
It was the solar plexus at that time.
Okay. And just to give our listeners a mind's eye view, did the ectoplasm come pretty much straight out of your mother's solar plexus, or did it dip down toward the floor and then rise up into Aunt Ag?
Yes, it dipped down towards the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And the ectoplasm, as I explained about the disc originally,
yes.
And it was just like that on the floor.
Yes.
So it
yes.
dipped down towards the base of the figure,
mm-hmm.
and then obviously is built up from there.
And after the sessions were over,
yes.
Did your mother awaken on her own, or did you have to approach her and gently wake her up?
No, she awakened herself.
And how did
sunrise?
How did she feel afterward?
Fine.
Tired?
No, not really. And again, I must explain that my mother had her first operation for cancer in 1940.
Oh.
She'd had a breast removed for cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But while she was sitting in the circle, she was receiving healing. So this was brilliant, that she was getting the healing from the spirit people while she was sitting and operating as a medium.
Amazing. All right.
Yeah, it's two-sided.
It works. Yeah. It works both ways. Well, wonderful. Stand by, Tom, if you would. And Michael Roll is standing by as well, enjoying every moment of this, and we'll hear from Michael as well. As we continue in just a couple of minutes, I'm Jeff Rentz. Glad you're here. This is an historic program with Mr. Tom Harrison from Spain. Okay, and we're back. Tom Harrison and Michael Roll. Michael, a thoroughly gripping narrative of those sessions. You had yours with Rita Gould, and
yes,
Tom had his with his mother. Tell us, Michael, about the cabinets or whatever they are, a screen. Why do the folks on the other side like to see those used? For the protection of the medium?
Well, I didn't have that with Rita Gould. Tom will explain that they obviously wanted to build up the energy, and they could do that in the corner with a cabinet, with a curtain in front.
Mm-hmm.
It's purely to build up the energy. But what I'd like to explain to your viewers is the ectoplasm is a physical substance that the etheric scientists take from the medium to make a temporary sort of spacesuit so they can teleport people back into.
Right.
So that ectoplasm will be made of exactly the same stuff that our physical bodies are made of.
Ah.
So it's a scientific exercise. It's chemistry we're dealing with here, you see.
I see.
And that's what has to build up in the corner of the room. As they perfected the materializations, Tom will go on to tell you, that they perfected it. And I expect it's very much like the Rita Gould experience that I met. There is, in the end, when they're walking about the room, they're as solid as you and me, Jeff. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You can feel all aspects of them. We were allowed to touch them when we were given permission by the etheric scientists. And you can feel the dresses they're wearing or the clothes they're wearing, the earrings in some cases. So it's all built up within the ectoplasm, but it's only a chemistry that we're dealing with here, you see.
Mm-hmm. Now, you call them etheric scientists. Interesting, interesting
term. That's right. They have the technology to do this. All we can do on Earth, as Tom will confirm, is observe and report and do exactly as we're told. We must have the medium's number one safety at all times in this.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Okay, Tom, go ahead.
Yep. That's right. Well, I agree entirely with what Michael was saying. And can I say that over the next six sittings, my mother was sitting in this room. Perhaps I haven't explained the size of the room.
Please
to give some idea as to how close we were.
Mm-hmm.
It was a room about 10 feet by 12 feet.
That's
They're not
it?
Big rooms.
That's a very small room.
Yeah. Which is the normal sitting room alongside a shop in England. That's the way it used to be.
I see.
And you imagine eight chairs around there. There was no room to move much.
No.
So we were all very close to each other. And very close to the materializations.
Well, you couldn't have been much closer.
That's true. That's true.
Right.
Anyhow, for the next 6 weeks, we had people building. The next week after Mr. Jones took the pulse, we had five materializations who built. And again, one of them was my dad's mother, who linked us together, linked my dad and myself together. Like Aunt Hag did, took hold of our hands and held us together as a family. And then the next week we had a couple of guest sitters with five materializations, and one of them was Mr. Jones' mother.
Tom, these must have been extraordinarily stunningly emotional meetings for people.
Absolutely. I can remember them as clearly now as I did 50 years ago. Was it 50 years ago? I don't know, 1946? Nearly 60 years ago. Yep, just as clear.
If
wonderful.
Were people
Mr. Jones, sorry?
Were people weeping? Were people crying and weeping and overcome at some of this?
No, some of the guest sitters did.
Indeed.
The guest sitters were weeping at times and crying because of the emotion of meeting their own people from the spirit world, mm-hmm. who just wanted to let them know that they were fine, they were happy. Any pain they had previously had gone. There was no pain, they were very happy, and they just wanted their relatives still here to know everything was fine, everything was all right.
What a universally magnificent message to transmit.
Well, I think it is. Yes, I agree. Mr. Jones' mother called him Brit, my boy. Now, that's something we didn't know that she called him that. So, again, it wasn't as though somebody was reading our minds or my mother's mind.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. And then, after the six sittings, I say it was Sunrise who suggested that we had the cabinet. As Michael said, it's just to conserve the energy. We said, well, we're doing fine as we are. We're not bothered too much. But he said, if we have the curtain, and we always take their advice, they'll be able to build better, stay longer, and then they can come out and walk around the room. And we used to go and embrace them. And the first night with the cabinet, we had seven materializations, seven different people who built, pulled back the curtain, just stood there, most of them. Aunt Aggie used to come out, but some of them just stood. And that night, Uncle Jack, that's another of the family, the one I talked about in the first, when I was a youngster, he had passed over, he built, and handed me two chrysanthemums, that's right, I must remember that, two chrysanthemums for his daughter's birthday, which was the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to take them to her.
My, now, we have to break, but very quickly.
Yes.
Where do these apports come from? The other side or this side?
No.
And they're materialized. They're materialized from this side. Okay.
They are just material. I'll explain that, yes.
Very good. Okay. All right. Stand by, if you would, Tom. We'll pause and come right back with Michael Roll as well in just a few minutes. Remarkable program. And do be patient about getting onto Tom Jones' website. You'll make it, but there's a huge demand for it right now. Mr. Tom Harrison is on the line from Spain, and Michael Roll from the UK. Okay, Tom, when you were able to sit down, and, well, all of you were sitting down, and Aunt Ag would appear. How many times in total, by the way, very quickly, did Aunt Ag appear to you?
Well, almost every week over, well, nearly 8 years. So we sat. I was going to say 50 times a year. We had the odd holiday, and sometimes my mother was in hospital for treatment for the cancer. Mm-hmm. But we still sat afterwards when she came out. So probably I've met Aunt Ag, 300 and odd times, must have been.
You must have asked her what we would consider to be the usual pressing questions about life on the other side.
Yes.
You must have asked her countless questions. Can you give us a sketch, an outline of what life is like on the other side, what some of the questions were you asked her, and how she responded, please?
Yes, we used to ask. I must admit, we didn't go into too much detail on that. We were more concerned about chatting to her about the family and her wanting to give messages to her family on this side.
I see.
But we did say, well, what do you do, Aunt Ag? What's life like? Oh, she said, it's not much different from living here, which rather shook us. I said, but we don't have this bother of a physical body, which impedes everything we want to do in this world. She said, no, we just do our... She said, I'm still acting as a medium. I said, that sounds a bit strange, Andag. How do you do that? Well, she said, there are people, spirit people, who have progressed to a higher level, as they do, the same as we progress here from lower levels to higher levels in education and in spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, they cannot get in touch with their people on the earth. So she said, I transmit messages from them.
So not everyone, understand, not everyone on the other side has the ability to either materialize or contact those of us who are still on this side.
That's right. No, that's absolutely right, what you've said.
Okay.
They haven't got the ability, or sometimes they don't have the will to do it.
Well, as Michael has said many times, when people make the transition, they take themselves right along with them, correct, Michael?
Absolutely.
Exactly, yes. The people I spoke to at the Rita Gould experiment from the etheric world, Raymond Lodge sat next to me for a few hours over two sessions, and he answered all these questions I fired in about the other side. And it sounds very, as Tom says, very similar. There's no shocks when you die. You go over, you're met with your loved ones, and they're walking around in sort of duplicate bodies, but they don't need feeding these bodies. You only need food and drink to keep this physical body ticking over, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But they certainly obviously recognize each other. I think we'll have to wait until we get there to find out if all this hearsay is true. But as you know, they told me that they actually played sport. But we can't say that as a definite scientific fact. We'll have to wait until we get over there to find out if that's true. But the main thing is, Jeff, we're getting this proof of survival, which is so important because we're all going to die and we've all lost loved ones. This is the most wonderful thing we've got to get through to everybody, that we survived death. And it also proves that the stories of Jesus are correct. So all we need know now is that one of his disciples must have been a medium like Minnie Harrison or Rita Gould, you see, for scientists in the etheric world to teleport Jesus back to prove survival. So it's only the materialists who are really going to lose out on this science, because they start from the base of when you're dead, you're dead. The mind and brain are the same.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're putting forward is a separate mind and brain, and that we all survive death. So I'm hoping eventually that the followers of Jesus will come with us, the secularists, and join forces. How do you feel about that, Jeff?
Well, the whole issue is really, I think, at a point of departure now, thanks to your work and Tom's and Peter Wadham's and so many others. And we are beginning to see more and more people embrace the concept that there is far more going on than just this tawdry, shabby game we call life on Earth.
Absolutely.
And I think it is the greatest message of all that can be given to people, that takes away the fear. We are a fear-based species. Takes away the doubt, the skepticism, and the control.
And it brings in the most important ethic of all: as you sow, so you will reap. It makes sense, you see.
Sure. The control of humankind by those who would craft spirituality to their own secular gains and call it religion must be met and met squarely with the reality that they do not own the franchise on life, that there is more. And I think that Tom's presentation tonight is certainly eye-opening. Tell me, Tom, what were some of the favorite sessions, or if one or two perhaps presents itself to you with Aunt Ag? What was she laughing? Was she? We have tape recordings, which after the next break coming up in about a minute, I'd like you to go ahead and play a couple of examples for us of recordings of Aunt Ag.
Delighted. No, she was always very cheerful. She always had a smile on her face and used to talk to us about her family and about what she did, yes. And if I say that the next three sittings, which were the beginning of 1947, the first night with the cabinet, I said there were seven people billed that night, including Andag, And again, I have to stress, it's a very natural, homely feeling in the room. You're not sitting, you know, in tight chairs and everything, my mother strapped up, not at all. Just a homely meeting, and it was one of the things that we decided at the beginning of the circle, was it would be a regular meeting between our spirit friends and loved ones and we on the earth. That's all. We
very
called
good.
It, in fact, the Saturday Night Club.
Sounds fine to me. All right, stand by, if you would, and then when we come back, we'll ask Tom to play a couple of examples of the voice of Aunt Ag. Next. Talking with Tom Harrison and Michael Roll. Okay, Tom.
Yep.
How many...
Now,
go ahead. You have a point to make. Go ahead, please.
Well, you were asking about Aunt Ag and special meetings.
Yes.
Well, it was one of these, the first one with the cabinet. I was getting to the point, I thought, oh, we must try some little experiments here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said to Aunt Ag, would you like to sign your name? And she's just standing there in front of me. I suppose that sounds a bit cheeky now, but it wasn't. And she said, well, I've never had a pen in my hand for years. I said, well, come on. So I took my notebook over, the book I made notes in every week for 2 years. I've got them in front of me now. And I took them over with a pen and just handed her the pen. And she said, this is strange, holding a pen. I held my notebook in front of the materialized form, and she signed her name, Agnes. Right there in front of me, and it's still there in my book. And the next week I got my Uncle Jack to do the same. And the following week I got Sam Hildred, which was Gladys's father, also to sign his. So I have 3 sheets of paper in my notebook with signatures signed by materialized ectoplasmic people. They're rather exceptional because Maurice Barbanel got Sir Vincent Kalard to sign his name at one of his circles, and he considered it is one of the treasures he has. So I have 3 treasures.
Wonderful. Remarkable. Now
regarding the voices.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. People today, listeners today, may wonder why we didn't record all this in those days. Well, they must remember it 60 years ago, and tape recorders were not around. They were around, but they were extremely expensive. Big, clumsy, reel-to-reel things.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only in January 54, that a friend of ours, who was an audio engineer, offered to come and record one of our Christmas party sittings. And he came and recorded it, and that's why we have these voices. But it was only that night. And these are the voices of the people who stood in front of us, the same as I've been talking about now, but this was in our house, our home in Oxford Road, Middlesbrough,
mm-hmm.
and I just held the microphone in front of them, as you would do for any broadcast,
mm-hmm.
just interviewing somebody.
Mm-hmm. And your mother was there, and she was in trance.
She was now behind the curtain in the cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
She was in trance and knew nothing at all, so she was very interested to hear the recordings, of course.
I'm sure.
As we were.
All right.
So if you want to hear Aunt Ag first...
Let's hear Aunt Ag, yes.
Okay, I'll get Anne to do it.
Okay.
Oh, hello, my dears. Hello.
Hello.
Now, this is good, isn't it?
This is good, yes.
Nice to be here again with you all.
Good.
Yes. Now, you've had a very long evening, you know, haven't you?
We have. You're very right, Auntie.
And I'm not going to stay very long.
No.
But I would just like to say to you all,
yes.
all our love from our world
yes.
to all of you here.
Yes.
To my own people, may I just give a little message?
Sure, certainly.
A message of love and goodwill for the coming year. And I do hope that our Gwen will
yes.
be able to listen to this
yes.
can hear her mother's voice.
I hope so.
Yes. Our dad is with me.
Oh, that's good.
Yes.
We can hear that.
And, of course, all the rest of the family. Lil, the Esther, Jim,
yes.
Toss, Al, Pete, Emmy, and all of them.
Mum
and of course, Auntie and Mother.
Oh, yes, Auntie Grandma.
They're all here.
Yes.
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 Yes. You have a boundless wealth of love around you. I'm sure you should feel really very, very happy when you finish this little circle.
You have me all the time, friend.
You have given much pleasure to those of us in the spirit world. We do like to come and talk to you and pass on our messages from outside of life.
Yes.
And this is a wonderful work that Mr. McKenzie is doing.
Yes.
And I do hope that those who are listening in to this
yes.
at any time will be able to be helped and guided by their spirit friends, the same as you in this little circle are helped and guided by yours. They will always be near you, watching you and helping you in this, your work. Go forth into the world and give your message, a message of life after death. Good night, and God bless you all. Good night, my dear.
Good night, Auntie, and thank you very much for that.
Hello, Jeff.
Hello.
Did that come across?
Very well indeed. Very well indeed. I just was trying to imagine what our listeners are thinking right now, and it's you've been listening to that for a long time, nearly 60 years. She had a very elegant and regal bearing about her, I guess, in life as in the other life that she's in now. The same?
That's right. As I said, she was a medium down at the Marylebone Association, which became the SAGB in England.
Uh-huh.
And she also used to take public meetings in the big halls like Aeolian Hall and those halls to something like 2,000 people.
She knew how to speak to people then, yes. Yes.
She had the presentation. She was just the same.
After she finished and said goodnight,
yes.
How did she dematerialize? Describe the process.
She walked back behind the curtain.
She would actually walk back behind the curtain.
That's
where your
right.
mother was in trance. Okay. And it's important
yep.
for you folks who may have joined us late. The early sittings involved Tom Harrison's mother sitting virtually 5 feet from him in full view. She wasn't always in the cabinet or behind the curtain. But this is something that that seems to be desirable, that the materializing mediums be in a cabinet or behind the curtain. Doesn't matter much because you were witness to both versions of this amazing phenomenon, both kinds.
That's right.
Now,
what?
Go ahead.
Yes, I was going to say, what is interesting particularly that Andag was talking about was how much they enjoy coming to talk to us.
Yes, I got that.
Not like some of the people who say, you shouldn't bring them back. We don't bring them back. They're here all the time. They're around us. But they only talk to us when they get the opportunity. But they want to talk to us. We give them pleasure. And the other people who came that night or other nights said exactly the same thing.
Now, that one night you said there were 7 different people who materialized.
That's right.
And
yes.
Male, female?
Yes.
Young, old?
Varied. Oh, varied, yes.
Now, for those who would suggest there is some kind of trickery, again,
yes.
this was conducted in a room, usually, about 10 feet by 12 feet, wherein there were 6 or 7 chairs arranged
right.
in a horseshoe around a fireplace with
That's
a
right.
red light. This was a single yes. light bulb, was it, or was it a focused
yes,
lamp?
Yes, at first it was a single light bulb, and then as they after the we had the curtain, the cabinet, we were able to make it a brighter red light. We had twin bulbs. And then I got a rheostat later, so we could dim and brighten the light depending on the ability of the spirit people to stand the light. People like Aunt Ag and another lady, Granny Lumsden, who I haven't mentioned yet, could stand the light very strong. People coming for the first time to meet guest sitters who were not used to it could only stand in a dim light or a dimmer light.
Yes. Tom,
can I come in there?
Yes, Michael.
Yes, there can't be any trickery when they're recently deceased people fully materializing and talking to their loved ones.
No, that certainly goes without saying.
Yes, if you're on the phone, you've only got one sense working there, and you know immediately if it's your mother or father, mm-hmm. with just one sense working. But what Tom is explaining here is where all five senses are working, for goodness sake. Mm-hmm. So that's a pure red herring that our enemies bring up to mm-hmm. try and put mm-hmm. people off the scent. Carry on.
No, I raise the issue because there are certainly a thousand questions flowing out in our audience right now. And there are many who would like to ask direct questions, so I'm trying to think on their behalf. This room was small. Your mother was behind a curtain in the corner of the room, sitting on a chair. Hardly room for her to change costumes and appear as male and female.
No room at all.
Yeah. So the voice, very strong, very clear, and as you've made note of, she had great experience speaking to large groups of people over time. The phenomenon we know, Michael, of electronic voice phenomenon, EVP, voices from those who have departed, and many of the conversations that we've recorded now, and there are thousands of people doing this, are actually two-way interactive conversations to a limited degree, but there is interaction. Would these people be the same as we're talking about with Tom's experiences, people on the other side who are able to a limited degree to at least verbally communicate?
Absolutely. Exactly that.
Absolutely.
What Tom's talking about is, we can't stress strongly enough, where all five of our senses are working.
Mm-hmm.
It's crushing proof of survival. And as you know, we've now got the mathematics to back it all up. So,
well, we have heard on this program hundreds of examples of EVP recordings, which are just amazing, to say the least. Now we have Tom. And Tom, again, how old are you, sir?
85.
You sound like you're 55.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
Well, I only feel 55.
Well, it's all a numbers game anyway. Stand by, Tom and Michael Roll. We will come back for another hour of fascinating conversation in just a few minutes.